For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer this morning as we come around the Word of God and look at the topic, Stability for God's People. Stability for God's people. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the provision that you have given for your people. And Lord, we pray this morning that that become very clear to us and that we avail of what has been given to us through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, for that, and we exalt you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. This morning, stability for God's people we're going to look at. And we need to be looking at this because there is lots of instability amongst those calling themselves Christians. But it need not be so. It need not be so at all. In fact, the Lord has placed through his word very clear directions for us to be people that are on the foundation of God's word. And this is very, very important for us. If we've got that firm foundation of God's word, not only in our personal lives, but also the church itself having that foundation, then all types of storms all around us can happen, and yet we can be stable and firm and strong. Let's have a look at Ephesians 4. And let's look at verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 4. Now, we've looked at this section of Scripture a few times, and we know what it's saying. But I want us to see very clearly that there is a clear link between having the firmness of God's Word in your life and having that knowledge and wisdom that comes out of that as the Spirit of Truth leads you and shows you and illuminates your mind and heart. There's a clear difference between having that and having a foundation of sand or not having anything that you can rely upon. Ephesians 4, verses 13 and 14 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." So we see that phrase, every wind of doctrine, every wind of doctrine, and that gives us the clear idea that we're to be people that don't have ourselves shaken, or as it says there, tossed to and fro by winds of doctrine, or every wind of doctrine. God wants us to have a stability of doctrine. That means the teaching that we can have as a firm foundation in our life. How are we to know about things unless we know it from the Word of God in line with the Spirit of God? So we see here that God is giving a warning here that we must have a unity. And notice it's a unity not just of the faith, but it's unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. And it's quite interesting that the Son of God also has the title of the Word, and Jesus pointed to the man that built his house upon a rock is the same man that built his house upon Christ's words. So we know very clearly that we should be coming, as verse 13 talks about, we should be coming into the unity of the faith, okay, that what we trust and what we know, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, which is specifically the knowledge of God's Word. And then it goes and directly says that if you don't have that type of thing, then you'll just be like children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And he says how that's done. How is it done that you could be carried about it by every wind of doctrine? Well, it's by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's by deception. So we can't be people that are easily shaken, but to be people that are stable and are in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what God wants for his people right across the earth. And as impossible as it may seem to us in the natural, we know that supernaturally God is wanting this and aiming for this and is going to bring about this, that the body of Christ is like, as it says in verse 13, all of us coming into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So it's the body of Christ like a perfect man walking through the earth today. And as it says there, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The world has not seen that yet. It's seen glimpses of it in the past. It's seen various aspects of it, but it has not seen the body of Christ as a whole walking in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, not tossed to and fro by winds of doctrine. In other words, firm in doctrine, very clear and sure, and walking in that surety and pointing people clearly to Christ, pointing people clearly to the Word of God. If you go across to 2 Timothy 3:16, we looked at this the other day, and we need to look at it again because we see that word doctrine again. 2 Timothy verses 3, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I pointed out that if churches go away from the Scripture, go away from the Word of God, and specifically go away from having a pure Word, then, and there's a trust in other things, a trust in feelings or circumstances, or this is good because it feels good sort of thing, rather than this is good because the Scripture points to this and shows this and makes it clear. If you go away from that firm foundation, then you're also going to be rejecting and going away from this list of things that we see in verse 16, and you're certainly not going to come into that perfection that we saw in Ephesians 4 and that it points to in verse 17 here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So where does it come from? God himself, doesn't it? It comes from him. It comes from his very heart. So that we, if you want to know what God is thinking and what God knows and wants for his people, then you've got to get into the Scripture, because there is profit in doing so, and it points to this here. Verse 16, all Scripture's given to us, okay? Given to mankind, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. That's the head of the list. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And there's an end to that. What's the end? What's the outcome? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Does God want his people to be like that perfect man that is profiting in doctrine and reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness, has the Scripture's firm foundation? Does God want that? Does he want his people to be thoroughly furnished? That means inside and out, completely furnished unto all good works. Certainly he does. Certainly he does. He wants his people to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And through that preaching, the power of God is demonstrated. He wants that. He wants his people to be people that are furnished unto all good works. This is the aim of being a scriptural based person, a person who has the Word of God as the foundation in their life. The stability in that is very, very important. If you have a look at Isaiah 33, let's go back to that. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 33, and we see that God talks about stability, and we can link it to what we've just read. We've just read about in Ephesians 4 how God doesn't want his people tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We read in 2 Timothy that the scripture is profitable for various things, and that if the people of God don't have that as their foundation, they're also going to be lacking in those things such as doctrine. Isaiah 33, let's look at verses 5 and 6. It says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion," and Zion is a type of the church, "he hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and," verse 6 says, "and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." So if I was to go to the average Christian today and say, "What is the fear of the Lord to you?" Would they say, "Well, the fear of the Lord is my treasure"? It's a treasure. There's a whole heap of things connected with having the fear of the Lord that makes it a very, very valuable thing to have. We'll look at a couple of those things in a minute. But we see there's stability in having wisdom and knowledge. As it says, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." And it won't matter what you go through. If you have the wisdom and knowledge of God, you'll know what to do and say and how to be led. You'll have that knowledge. You'll know that the Spirit of God teaches you all things and leads you into all truth and shows you things to come, because there's a foundation of the Word of God in you, and the Spirit of God does not lead you away from the truth but leads you according to the truth and into the truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Ghost is known as the Spirit of Truth. So we see here that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. Very important for us to understand that if you have the wisdom and knowledge that is in the Scripture about your salvation, you'll have that strength of salvation in your life as well. You'll know what the Scripture talks about being saved from various things. You'll know what the Scripture talks about the benefits of God. Forget not all his benefits, the Bible says. But how would you know about those benefits unless you have that wisdom and knowledge through the Scriptures in your heart? Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. There's a real key involved in this, having the fear of the Lord as your treasure, because the fear of the Lord is defined quite clearly in the book of Proverbs, and the fear of the Lord is connected with all types of good things in a person's life, and specifically in Zion, the church. So we would expect in the future that the church would have the fear of the Lord as its premium treasure. Now, this is something that the world does not understand at all. If you have a look at Proverbs 8, verse 13, we know this one, but it's an important one to come back to, because it's a definitional scripture. It defines what the fear of the Lord is for us. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Hate evil. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So there's a good hatred. That's a hatred you have to have if you love the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, hate is a powerful word, and in its right context, it's very powerful in your life too, if you direct it in the right way. You don't want to be hating your brother and sister, or hating the church, or hating the Word of God, or anything like that. That's a bad hatred. But to hate evil, we should be passionately, enthusiastically, zealously hating evil. Keep your finger in Proverbs 8 and just go across to Psalm 97 verse 10. Psalm 97 verse 10. And you can see some of the things that are connected with the fear of the Lord here in Psalm 97 verse 10. So Psalm 97 verse 10 says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." So there's an important statement. If you say, "I love the Lord," you also must hate evil. You see the idea here. So you'll hear people say, "Oh, I love Jesus," and yet they're mingling with evil things. Well, they're not really showing proper godly love, are they? Not biblical love. "Ye that love the Lord hate evil," and then there's a colon there, "He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." So you see that your soul is preserved and in fact prospered. "And he delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Well, you need that. You need deliverance out of the hand of the wicked. You do not want to be controlled by wicked things or wicked people. You need that deliverance. But you can't have that deliverance if you're saying, "Well, I love the Lord," and yet you love evil and evil things and doing all types of wrong things. No, no, no. You've got to hate evil. You've got to have that proper knowledge, wisdom and knowledge that comes from having the fear of the Lord as your treasure. Do you treasure the things of God? Do you treasure the fear of the Lord? Well, if you treasured the fear of the Lord, you will actively and passionately and zealously hate evil, which will demonstrate your love for the Lord. If you go back now to Proverbs 8, and we'll just have a look at verse 8 in Proverbs 8. "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness." There is nothing froward or perverse in them. "They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." So it looks in God's way, understanding and knowledge and wisdom is very, very important. Very important. Verse 10, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that thou may be desired are not, all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge with witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." So we see that we have to put wisdom and instruction in their right place. We have to see it as a very valuable treasure, far above things like rubies and gold and the things of this world. Far above that. And so if you go across to Proverbs 9, and we've looked at this a bit of late, Proverbs 9, starting with verse 9, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Well, that sounds like the way we should be going. Okay, if you're a wise man in the Lord, you should be able to receive instruction and get wiser. You should be able to receive teaching and increase in learning. If you find that's not happening, you need to examine your heart and ask why. And probably it'll be related to, what are you putting your priority on? Do you see the fear of the Lord as your treasure? Do you see wisdom and knowledge as being the way to go and the way to have stability and strength of your salvation? Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Another scripture says beginning of knowledge. So wisdom and knowledge are connected to the fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil, remember. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So one of the primary aspects of that knowledge of the holy is the knowledge of the Holy Bible, of the Holy Scriptures. And that says that it is understanding. This is once again a definitional thing. What is knowledge? What is proper knowledge? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And it's connected to the fear of the Lord. It's connected to that, as we see that in this verse. So you can see why people can be claiming to be Christians and yet be doing all types of wrong things, because they don't hate evil and don't desire the knowledge of the holy. If you don't have the knowledge of the holy, you won't have spiritual understanding. But the scripture says, be ye holy even as I am holy. Talking about God being holy. We should be holy even as the Father in heaven is holy. So it shouldn't be something that's alien to Christians, but something that is well known. The Bible says, and Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, sanctification and holiness go hand in hand. Sanctification, that process of you being separated and taken away from the wrong things and separated unto the Lord, and it's done through the truth of God's word. It's done through the word of God. So you can see all of this comes together. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You cannot have the knowledge of the holy unless you're sanctified through the truth of God. Unless the word is coming into your heart and you're believing it and receiving it. And as I said before, you may have to prepare your heart by putting right priorities on things and making sure that your heart before the Lord is right. You're not putting God last. Oh yeah, I'll pray, but it'll be the last 2 minutes of the day. No, it should be up front in your day. I believe the word of God, but you don't look at it, or you don't read it or study it. You know, we shouldn't be just reading the word of God, we should be studying the word of God. Okay? Students of the word. Very important if you want to grow in the Lord. But not only just if you want to grow in the Lord, but also to be able to be truly furnished unto all good works for the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It's important for us because we're not on the earth for ourselves. When you're a Christian, you're not your own. You're on the earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, there's all types of good desires you can have and do in God. Primarily, your focus must be to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that we should be focusing on. So if you love the Lord, you'll hate evil. You'll have the fear of the Lord as your treasure. And you'll be wanting to know, you'll be wanting to have that knowledge of the holy, because that'll be spiritual understanding for you. Clearly there's many that are going off that track. But you want to be connected to something that lasts forever and has eternal value. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. verses 23-24. Once again, this is a scripture that we should know, but it's a foundational scripture in terms of us understanding the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23-25. Now this tells us how we were born again. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So this tells us a bit about the word of God, doesn't it? There's quite a lot you can get out of this scripture. It's through the word of God that you're born again. Okay, so that's very important for us to understand. No word, no born again. It's also showing the word of God itself is seed. And so the word of God must be sown. And one of the primary ways it's sown is through preaching. And 1 Corinthians talks about the preaching is the power of God. And when it's sown, it's got to be sown into people's hearts. Okay? And notice that it's not a corruptible seed. If you're born again by the word of God, then because that you've been born of the incorruptible seed, you'll also go on forever because it's incorruptible, as it says there, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's why we have eternal life, because we've been born of incorruptible seed. Eternal life, everlasting life has come into our hearts and changed us. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. So all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. That's what it says here. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So what's this saying? Well, you see, you cannot trust in the flesh. You cannot trust in the material world and say, well, I'm going to build my life on this and it's going to last and last and last and last and... Oh, actually, thinking about it, it's not going to last, is it? So, because all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man, so you don't want the glory of man. Because it's as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So how can you have a stable, firm life, the proper foundation? You have to have the word of God. You can't be trusting in the flesh. You can't be trusting in the glory of man. You can't be trusting in the temporal. You have to have the word of God as the foundation in your life. If you don't have that foundation, then you're relying on something that's not eternal, that's not going to last. And this is why the gospel has to be preached. This is why God wants a church that's strong across the earth, because he wants to get that message out. He wants to get that word out, the gospel out. He's talking about go and teach all nations. Teaching all nations what? Well, it has to be the gospel, the word of God, the truth of God. It can't be just any old thing. It has to be good doctrine, which is what the Bible talks about. Good doctrine. You know, when you look at the early church, you see that they concentrated on getting their doctrine right. Okay, they talked about the doctrine of the apostles. You know, you look at some of the early church councils, for example. They were talking about doctrine. We need to have that doctrine of the Trinity nailed down. We can't have people believing that Jesus is not God and things like that. We can't have people believing that the Holy Ghost is just a force that isn't God. No, they had to have that doctrine nailed down. I wonder how firm some people are with the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet it was one of the first really important doctrines that needed to be nailed down by the early church. You know? Well, by now, that doctrine should be not only firm, but there should be many other doctrines that are very, very clear. And sadly, it's not in some places, because when you start to go away from the Word of God, you also undermine those other things that are profitable from the Word. The first on that list is doctrine. Now, that's not the way we should be. As we trust in the Lord and rely on what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, we should be people that are firm and clear. I'm going to finish with Ezekiel chapter 33, because Ezekiel 33 here brings out something which we see quite a lot amongst today's churches at the moment. And it's related completely to deception and disobedience. Okay? So, Ezekiel 33, starting from verse 30, and we'll go down to verse 32. Starting from verse 30, we'll go to verse 32 of Ezekiel 33. It says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Well, it's a bit of a problem they're speaking against Ezekiel, isn't it, here? Verse 31, "And they come unto thee, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as thy people, as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." That reminds us, doesn't it, what we read before in Psalm 97, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." They shouldn't be loving covetousness. They should be hating evil to get it out of their heart. But as it says there, "But their heart goeth after their covetousness." So what's the problem here? What's the problem? If you look at verse 32, it says, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Here's a real problem. You know, people can actually recognize, and we've had this in the case of Victory Faith Center, can actually recognize, hey, the preaching really has some quality. There's really something here. There's something that makes it really nice and lovely and pleasant. And as it says there in verse 32, you know, it can appear to them as though it's a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. And they can even be sitting in church or listening to it online and saying, "Well, this is wonderful." In fact, I can think of one man now who those very words, you know. I actually quoted Ezekiel 33 to him. Okay? And he said, "Well, the Lord has led me to be here and to do this and to do that," and so on. And where is he now? He's not here now. Why? Because of this very thing. This very thing. They hear thy words. They hear thy words, but they do them not. And verse 31 shows the real problem here. They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. See, words are cheap. Okay, words without backed action is cheap. Words must have that backed faith action with it. Because you can show much love. Oh yes, I love it, I love it. I think it's wonderful and great and that's excellent, etc., etc. We cannot afford to be persuaded or swayed by that type of thing. Because unless their heart is right before the Lord, they'll go and do completely the opposite. As it says in verse 32, they hear thy words, but they do them not. This is the tragedy of our time. This has to change. It has to change amongst church people. It has to change. Obviously, the heathen have to come and hear the word and obey it too. But if the people of God, or people claiming to be the people of God, can't even do it, how can we expect the heathen to be doing it? You know, the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. It should begin with us personally and right across the body of Christ. The Bible talks about reproof coming and people turning at God's reproof, and then God can pour out his spirit on them and make his words known to them. That's where true knowledge is, known to them. Because then they'll have the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy is connected to having the fear of the Lord, hating evil. Oh, I don't want to go after covetousness because I hate covetousness. You know, that type of thing. That's the type of thing we have to have in our churches. And I believe that's exactly what's going to be coming into the churches globally. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we desire the knowledge of the holy. We are devoted to your fear, the fear of the Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are increasing us more and more in the knowledge of this, in this church and across this city. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we are not just hearers only, but doers as well. Help every person here, Father, I pray, every person who hears this message, help to come to a conclusion, a firmness, a stability in their lives, and so that when the word comes, it's not just something that's lovely in sound, but it's something that is to be obeyed, to be taken as very serious. And so, Lord, we ask for your help. We ask, Lord, that you continue in us. You continue in every one of us. That we not be people just giving lip service, but be people that have actions coming out of a heart of love towards you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask this, Lord, and we praise you and thank you. Glory to God.